Welcome to Epiphany Brooklyn's podcast. I am Brandon Watts, lead pastor here at Epiph. Thanks so much for tuning in. Our desire is to join Jesus in his mission to redeem our city. May God bless you as you listen and consider subscribing so that you can tune in each week. Grace and peace.
You may be seated. Man, there's a part of that song where, man, it just causes you to just reflect for a second, where it says, I seen it with my own eyes. Anybody ever seen the Lord make ways out of no ways and keep promises and do the miraculous? And if that's not your testimony, live a little longer, because we serve a God that knows how to, he don't know how not to keep a promise. If he said it, it's gonna come to pass. Eyes have not seen, ears not have not heard what the Lord has in store. And I am grateful to serve that kind of God with you today. Amen. It's Psalm 34 that says, I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praises shall continuously be in my mouth. I'm excited to be able to corporately worship Jesus together with you guys today. And here's what I know, man. I know how it works. You come into church and there's maybe baggage that you have, maybe something that you're still dealing with from the week, or, you know, maybe that project at work just isn't done. Maybe there's chaos, you know, in the midst of the family right now, or, you know, argument with your friend. Maybe you got those emails. It's like, man, if it ain't returned today, it's good. Wait till Monday. Because we bring that stuff into church, and what it does is it distracts us from a promise-keeping God. So here's what I want to do for a few minutes. If you'll indulge me and remove all of the distractions so that we can declutter the cross today, so that we can see Jesus, because he's worthy. Let nothing hinder your worship today, y'all. Let nothing hinder your worship. He's worthy of our praise. I want to quickly rush to publicly say Happy Mother's Day to all of the mothers. I know we already celebrate. Can we just see your hands up one more time? Happy Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day. Mama Ty, Happy Mother's Day. It's good to see so many of you guys. I am grateful that we are a church that you feel comfortable enough bringing mom. You know, in our early years of our church, our church, usually Mother's Day was really, really empty because everybody would go to their mama's church. But we've become the church that you like, man, come on, mama, come to church with me today. And so I'm just grateful. I also want to just quickly acknowledge how complicated today is for so many people in the room. There are so many of you that are celebrating mom, but there are some that wish that they could be moms, or maybe some that has lost mom too soon. And so I just want to acknowledge that one of the things I love about scripture is that it has a way of getting at all of our emotions. So no matter what you came in here, no matter what you feel, don't suppress it today. Give it to the Lord. He welcomes it. Bring all of it to him. And I think Mother's Day is a good opportunity for us to see that our complex issues are simplified when we bring them to the Lord. So I just want to encourage everybody in the room. You know, also, I don't want to just preach to mothers today. I want to preach to just all of the women. And I think men, stay connected, because I believe that this is a word for us as well. But I'm going to preach to all mothers, not just mothers who bore children. You know, Eve is called the mother of all living things. In fact, Adam calls her that in chapter 3. But what's so interesting is she doesn't have any kids in chapter 3. She doesn't give birth to Cain until chapter 4. We know how that worked out. But she doesn't give birth to Cain until chapter 4. But she's called the mother of all living things. In other words, embedded in every single lady in this room is motherhood and nurturing. And some of you are spiritual mothers. And some of you have invested your life in ways. And you don't got to be a certain age to be a spiritual mama. You just walk with some people and do life with people. And I think that people can be encouraged by all the women in the room. So I'm gonna say that. But I do want to give some special love to the mother of my children, my wife, and a spiritual mom to this house. I want to thank God for my wife, Ty. Amen. Happy Mother's Day, babe. Her grandmothers were in the first service, and her mother was in the first service as well. My mother's coming to the second, to the third service, to the one. So I just want to just acknowledge her today. All right, let's do it, y'all. We're in 2 Timothy. Go to the New Testament. 2 Timothy. Once you get there, go to the first chapter of 2 Timothy. As you turn there, man, I think I should tell you guys that around Tuesday of this week, Tuesday afternoon, I was in my office here at the church, and I was kind of praying, and that's kind of my day. I don't have any meetings on Tuesdays. It's just prayer and prep and study, and So I was praying and I felt an overwhelming sense. I actually told Pastor Caleb in our elders meeting, I had an overwhelming sense to really teach on biblical manhood and biblical womanhood. And I think that urge birthed in my heart a couple of weeks ago. I was preparing for a conversation about something similar to that topic. And I found myself like really getting an exhaustive, inductive Bible study on just the topic of biblical man. And I just realized like, man, the Bible has a lot to say about the complementarianism of gender roles. And I'm not just talking in the church, I'm talking about in society and in the home. And unfortunately, we live in a society that has taken biblical manhood and biblical womanhood and made it whatever they wanted to make it. So as a consequence, we now walk into the church and sometimes we get confused in the church on, well, what should I be doing and how am I wired and why has God done this and why has God done that? But I think the Bible is really clear on the differences and the strengths, and he's really clear on offices and things like that within the church and within the home. And if y'all allow me, not this Bible study, but in June's Bible study, I just want to push against the culture a bit and really teach on, spend an hour teaching on biblical manhood and biblical womanhood. If you're dating a guy, this is a good chance to bring him. Bring him that day. I think it's gonna be great. Speaking of teaching, man, can I just show some love? He's not here for Zach, who preached last week. Just come on, let's like love on him in the room. I don't know if he's watching, him and Jillian. I know they're away right now, but I just want to love on him. He just did a phenomenal job kind of walking us through the pathway toward reverence. We spent a piece of our staff meeting on Monday and just kind of processing ways in which we need to reverence God and ways that we've missed the mark. And I know personally, I just sat back for a second and was like, man, like I don't reverence him like this or in this way. And it was just a good reminder. And so I'm grateful, really, really grateful for Zach's love for the Word of God and his love for the Word of God shown through the preaching of the Word of God. Speaking of preaching, are y'all at chapter 1 yet, 2 Timothy?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
All right, then y'all say, get on with it then, B, get on. All right, let's do it. We're one verse. I'm going to get you out of here. The rain's, I don't know if it stopped or it's stopping, but I'm going to get you out of here because I know you got brunch plans. Verse 1, I am reminded, this is Paul, by the way, talking to Timothy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and now I am sure dwells in you as well. Just that one verse, I think we can grab something out of it. I want to preach today from the topic entitled A Mother's Influence. Would you look at your neighbor and just help me announce that topic? Just say a mother's influence. I need y'all to wake up a little bit. Get your T.D. Jakes voice and say, oh, neighbor, say a mother's influence. All right, let's look to the Lord before we dig in. Father, we thank you for every mother in the room. We thank you for every woman in the room, every man in this room. As we celebrate mothers today, Lord, I pray, oh God, that you would take the complexity of today and just meet us where we are, Lord, wherever we are. May we not hide or run away from your grace and your goodness and your mercy, but you said that those of us who are heavy laden, we can bring that to you and that you accept us. And so, Father, I pray for that, yeah, that complexity. Also pray for the mother in this room that has children and is just trying to make sense of this responsibility, this great responsibility. These children aren't ours. These are your children, and you've given us the responsibility for a few years to nurture them and to invest in them. So, Lord, I pray, oh God, that as we look at your word and your text today, I pray that it would enlighten the heart and that it would revive the soul and that it would make wise the simple, the same way Psalms 119 tells us it will. So we thank you and we love you. In Christ's name, we give all glory. Amen. Mother's influence. It is by God's grace, and this is not a surprise. I've shared this in this room before, but it is genuinely by God's grace that I was privileged to grow up in a home where my mother was present, was nurturing, was godly. Wasn't perfect, but she was godly and honestly reared me in a way toward the things of God. I'm grateful. I know that's not everybody's story, but I just want to take a second and just say I am so grateful that is the type of household I grew up in. I also was privileged to grow up with both grandmothers. One of them lived in North Carolina, Fayetteville, North Carolina. The other one lived here in Harlem. And I got to grow up just like being invested in some ways by both of my grandmothers. I am also married to the mother of my children. I have an amazing mother-in-law. The list can go on, but I'll stop there and just say, what I notice, if you ask me, what is the common theme between all of those family relationships, your grandmothers, your mother, your mother-in-law, your mother, what is the common thread between all of those? I would say the common thread is influence. Somebody say influence. Every single one of those relationships in some way, some form, some fashion has shaped me to be the man that I am today. It was the lessons that they taught, the examples that they set, the challenges that they overcame. If I laid out my mother's life to you and her, the challenges she was able to overcome, it was so encouraging. It showed me and gave me a spirit of influence. She was so influential with how she was able to become who she is despite having a very, very, very rough childhood. I believe that that's not just the case with me. I believe that that's your case. And I'm not just talking to some of you. I think that every single person in this room has been influenced by a mother. And maybe you didn't grow up with mom. Maybe you grew up with grandma. It was a mother figure. Maybe it was a teacher that invested in you or a spiritual mom that invested in you. And what I think is I don't think we give our spiritual moms and these women in our lives that has shaped who we are, I don't think we give them enough credit. And here's the thing, that's my testimony. I believe that that's your testimony if you dig deep enough. But I also believe it's the testimony of a leader in the church by the name of Timothy. There was a leader in the church by the name of Timothy that was deeply impacted by two women. Now, I just want to say this. This book, just context-wise, the book of 2 Timothy is really a profound book. It's one of several pastoral epistles, really three of them, that traditionally attribute the author as Paul. Now we're talking Paul, right? That wrote 75% of the New Testament, not in terms of quantity, but books, like written most of the New Testament. This is Paul, and Paul is now writing a letter to Timothy. Now, what's interesting about this book is if you get nothing else, hear this. This is the last letter that Paul wrote. Now, if you know how the New Testament is comprised, it is not comprised in sequence of when it was written. So 2 Timothy is the last letter Paul wrote before he died. He's sitting in a Roman jail cell and he puts a pen to the paper. So essentially, Paul is giving us his last words. He's giving us his final thoughts. Have you ever seen anybody that was on their deathbed with their final thoughts? They usually aren't just throwing out casual words. You're going to only offer up the most potent, the most important words. And what Paul does is Paul spends this last letter of his life and he recognizes that I need to write to my spiritual son in the faith and I need to teach him some things. I want to show him how to persevere in the faith, but I also want to show him how to proclaim the gospel. In fact, in chapter 4 of this last letter of Paul, in verse number 2, here's what Paul says to Timothy. He says, look, young buck, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove and rebuke and exhort with complete patience and teaching. It is undeniable that Paul has a significant impact on Timothy's ministry. It is undeniable that Paul has a significant impact on Timothy's spiritual journey. It is undeniable that Paul has a significant impact on the godly man that Timothy has become. But if we're not careful, we'll give Paul too much credit. Because Paul isn't the only one that actually invested in Timothy's spiritual growth. In fact, I'll say it this way. Paul ain't even the first one that invested in Timothy's growth. The Bible shows me that there are two women that I would argue don't get enough credit. 90% of the room never heard of Lois and Eunice. Here's a crazy thing, man. We think about the influence of David. We think about the influence of Moses. We think about the influence of Rahab or Queen Esther or the judge and prophetess Deborah. We think about these great men and women of scripture and we attribute influence to them. But can I tell you that there are two women that are only mentioned in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. Their names are Eunice and Lois, and we ain't giving them enough credit. Because they didn't just raise anybody. They had enough God in them to invest in a leader of the church before he was a leader. And I would argue that you don't get a strong leader like Timothy with just Paul. You get a strong leader like Timothy because of the help of Lois and Eunice, grandma and mama. Here's the thing, man. Many of you have never even heard of them. If you grew up in a house like I did, you weren't allowed to go to the Halloween party. We would go to church at the Hallowed Be Thy Name party. Y'all know what I'm talking about? And we would have to dress up as biblical characters. This is so corny. We would dress up as biblical characters, and you know, I want to be Moses. Like, you know, I want to be, you know, we want to be David. I bet you nobody in the room has ever dressed up as Eunice and Lois. You know why? Because we don't give them enough credit. They are unsung heroes in the early church, that you get leaders like Timothy because these two women have invested everything. Notice that the father isn't mentioned in the text, and it's probably because he has already died at a young age. We know Timothy's father was a Greek because he was uncircumcised, but these two Jewish women said, I'm gonna invest everything I can into my baby, and I don't know what he's gonna become of it, but he becomes a leader in the early church. Every time Timothy's childhood is mentioned, it's mentioned in connection with faithfulness of the people that raised him. Okay, let me show you. The only time that Eunice and Lois is mentioned is here in this verse. You don't see them anywhere else in scripture, but their impact is seen in other places, such as if you go to chapter 3 of this same book. Here's what Paul says about Timothy. He says, continue in the things that you have learned. Well, we know he learned them from Lois and Eunice. And become convinced of, knowing that from whom you have learned, from your childhood, Timothy, you have known the sacred writings, which are able to give you wisdom and leads to salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Paul is literally saying, I don't know how much time we have on earth, but you have to recognize that your child, that you're growing up and you're moving into spiritual maturity. All of it, if not most of it, was given to you because of two women in the church that were just faithful. Somebody say influence. These two women that were just influential. Now, before we talk about them, I really need you to see how big of a deal Timothy is. In fact, the scripture says it this way in verse number 5, our foundation verse today. It says, I am reminded of your sincere faith, Timothy, a faith that dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. And now I am sure dwells in you. And now I am sure dwells in you. And now I am sure dwells in you. We run past this, but Paul is literally saying that the gospel, the nutrients of the gospel, dwells in Timothy. Timothy is a phenomenal leader. Timothy is a phenomenal, humble disciple. Timothy is a godly man. Timothy is a companion of Paul. In fact, if you look at the verse above our verse today, Paul literally says, I remember your tears. That's discipleship right there, y'all. Oftentimes we have reduced discipleship to be this fly by your seat. You know, let's catch a quick Zoom call, or I'll share this devotional, this YouVersion devotional with you. And as long as we do that real quick, we can move on with discipleship. But Paul is like, no. Let me tell you what discipleship is. I remember when you had a hardship and my shoulder was the only place that you could come and lay on and cry. You got vulnerable with me. That is discipleship. Shameless plug. You need to get Yolanda's book on discipleship. Because what it will birth in the church is more Paul and Timothy's. Yes. Oh, God, yes. I prayed that this week. God, help us to be a church that has relationships within the body where we ain't competing with one another. We ain't jealous with one another. We ain't envious of one another. But I'm vulnerable enough that you remember my tears, and I remember your hardship, and I remember your pain. Lord, help us to have those type of relationships. We believe that those relationships don't exist. The reason we believe that they don't exist is because we've never seen them. The last person I shared my vulnerability with actually went and made a church tea. Wow. Went around the church and told everybody about what I was dealing with. And so therefore, I ain't dealing with this discipleship stuff. Yolanda, don't talk to me about discipleship. I ain't hearing it. I don't want to be involved in it. And if I am involved in it, you're going to get surface me. You'll never know real me. But Paul is like, yo, you remember when you cried right here? Timothy, I a part of my companionship with you is actual discipleship. And so Timothy, oh God, he would have been there present for some of the most major books that Paul wrote. He would have been there when Paul wrote the book of Colossians. Colossians. Yeah, yeah. Paul would have wrote that with Timothy there, the book of 1 and 2 Thessalonians, the redemptive book of Philemon would have been written with not just Paul writing, but with Timothy present. So in other words, Timothy is a big deal. Timothy is also an elder, and I would argue the most spiritually mature church in the New Testament, the church at Ephesus. We get the most information about them. Jesus writes a letter to them in the book of Revelation. And guess who's a leader there? Guess who spiritually gave his life toward leadership in that church? Timothy. By the way, Timothy would have been a young man when he first came to Paul. Commentators say Timothy would have been in his late teens or his early 20s. Can I just talk to a young generation in here that you're waiting for that day when you'll be spiritually mature? You can be spiritually mature today. Look at your neighbor and just say, you can grow up today. Like, we're not just a part of a church where young people come and we just come, do that Jesus thing. We check Jesus off the list and we go out and we do nothing. No, as a young teen, you should be theologically rich. As a young 20-year-old, you should be showing Jesus on your job. And you don't have to wait till the day. We all got that future us in mind. We all got that us in mind. You know that you that prays more? That you that actually reads your Bible? The you that doesn't skip your devotionals? You know, it'd be like, you know, you pass 8 days, you know. We all have that us in our mind that we are spiritually connecting and we're actually growing. But guess what? Timothy was already a godly man when he came to Paul. He didn't get godly when Paul entered his life. Come on. He was godly and faithful as a young teen. So I just want to push the young people in this room. Don't allow your youth to be despised. These are the best. You got energy. Y'all ain't saying nothing to me. I started working out again. It took me a long time. You know, I was lazy and I was off. But I started working out again this week and Ty was like, how you feeling? I was like, I felt like Cat Woods. I almost died. I can't breathe. I said, babe, I did 3 miles on a bike. I felt like my spleen had moved on the other side. You know, when you start getting older, you don't recover as fast. But here's the thing. Some of y'all in the room got youth behind you. You got energy. Maybe you ain't got kids. You should be the most ferocious disciple. You should be the one that's changing the world. And here's the thing. You can be. Don't wait for you in the 30s. You can do it now. Somebody say now. Influence now. And so this is Timothy that was, he was so, when Paul couldn't go somewhere, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 4, it was Timothy that would be sent in his place. Why? Can you imagine that? Paul, this great Paul, couldn't make it, and then a 19-year-old Timothy show up and was able to walk you from spiritual infancy to spiritual maturity. Wow. And so when we think about Paul, I'm always like, man, he's so teachable. He's so humble, yet he gave himself over to ministry. I'm always looking at this and I'm going, yo, Paul did a great job. Wait. Verse 5 said, no, before Paul, Mama Eunice. Oh, y'all ain't saying nothing. Lois, they were the ones that invested their life and gave Paul a well-rounded, godly man. I need you not to, dismiss the influence, Mama, that you got on your baby's life. I don't care how old they are. I need you not to dismiss those spiritual children. You ain't got with them in a long time, but you need to reconnect back with them. Because I'm telling you, we are godlier because you're in our life. Okay, that's Timothy. He's a big deal. But then the verse mentions in verse number 5, I am reminded of your sincere faith, Timothy. A faith, watch this, that first dwelt in grandma. Dwelt in Grandma Lois, and then it dwelt in Eunice. Paul is literally saying, I cannot and will not take full credit for your spiritual development. I won't do it. You know why? Because when you came to me, you had already had the nutrients of the gospel. Now, check this. This is Paul that's an apostle. This is Paul that has the title of overseer. It's synonymous with bishop, an authoritative title. But you know what Paul is saying? Just as authoritative as the title apostle is, guess what title is just as important, Mom? Guess what title is just as important, Grandma? And we want to elevate these positions within the church. And we say, man, I'm going to just bring my baby to you and you teach them Jesus. But no. Paul is like, wait, don't do it that way. I'll reaffirm what's already been put in them. That's it. That's my job, y'all. And I know everybody didn't grow up, you know, with that type of, you know, environment. And maybe it was toxic and maybe mom wasn't there. But there is somebody godly in your life that you've gleaned from. You should text them today and say, I didn't grow up in the best environment, but I learned from you. Maybe you taught me, or maybe I just watched it. But nevertheless, I've learned from you. And so listen, overseer and apostle is just as authoritative as mom and grandma. Paul is like, yeah, I would have taught you ministry. I may have taught you how to identify deacons and leaders and how to put them in place in the church. I may have taught you and clarified the gospel, but by no means was the first time you heard the gospel from me that this had to be at least the third time. Oh, because grandma had taught you it. And then mom had taught you it. And then finally you come to me and I'm not teaching you something new. I'm just reaffirming and stirring up the gift that has already been placed in you because your mom, oh, y'all ain't hear me. Because grandma and mom was faithful, faithful, faithful. We live in a generation now where moms is twerking and moms is on the gram and grandma is twerking. And oh, y'all think I'm lying? We live in a time where anything goes, but I love the fact that these two women that are only mentioned here are only mentioned here because they were faithful at home. Faithful at home. Somebody say influence. Look, mom, I know we hard-headed. If you brought your mom, look over to her and say, I know, I think I know everything. Are y'all ain't talking to mom? Tell mama, I know, I think I know everything. I know sometimes we borderline disrespectful. Because oftentimes, your mothering and you being a grandmother is better appreciated in retrospect. Yeah. Sometimes we gotta look back and be like, you wasn't lying. Because in the moment, sometimes I know how my kids do me. They be like, yo, pop, you just old. You just, you know, you're disconnected from my gen. You don't really know. And I understand what they mean by that. But the truth is, mom and grandma, you're witness in our life. It's everything. You have the ability to make queens at home. You got the ability to make kings at home. You got the ability. If Grandma Lois and Mama Eunice could raise up a leader that literally led one of the most spiritually mature churches in the New Testament, don't tell me that Bible study you're doing with your child, that investment that you're doing with that child, that giving them counsel, good godly counsel, ain't doing something. They may not show fruit of it now. They may be acting up now. They may be all over the place in school now. But you wait a little bit longer, the investment of Jesus into them is going to do far greater than discipline. Y'all ain't saying nothing to me. Ain't nothing to me. Because I'm looking, now I'm disciplined though, definitely disciplined. But I'm looking at Lois and Eunice and I'm marveling because I realize I too quickly gave Paul credit for Timothy. And what I love about this grandmother and this mother is they don't take a hard-headed Timothy that's undiscipled and is unfaithful to the Lord. They don't take that Timothy and then take him to the church and say, Paul, can you do something with him? Now, sometimes that's needed. But you know what they do? They say, Paul, I'm going to entrust all the Jesus I put in this boy. And I'm going to ask you to develop him further. In other words, mama, don't come to the church and assume that the church is doing what you should be doing at home. We drop our baby off at children's ministry, and we got an hour and a half, or if I preach long, an hour and 40 minutes, and we be like, teach them Jesus. And we should be like, no, you should have heard Jesus at home because you have professed faith and you're a mama that's supposed to be godly. Take the time. Don't allow the church to be what you get to do 7 days a week. You know what else I love about this grandmother and this mother? Nowhere in scripture, whether it's by name or even by influence later on in Paul's letters, nowhere in scripture do you see them complaining about how hard it was to raise Timothy. This is important. Now, look, I'm just telling y'all, I know it's hard. I ain't just talking to mamas in the room. Mamas, grandmas, fathers. I know parenting is not easy. The reason we are celebrating mothers today is simply because we know it's hard. You know, and some of you are dealing with postpartum depression and there's chemical imbalances. And so there's so much at play. But don't allow your motherhood and your fatherhood or you being the influential grandmother or the grandfather. Don't allow that to be defined by negativity. Because what we do is I talk to some of the parents. I'm like, man, how's it going, man? How's parenting? And all I hear is hardship and sleepless nights. We know the baby get up at 3. That's what they do. They cry. They always up. They always want something. They dependent on you. That's what they do. But sometimes I walk away from conversations with new parents and I'm sad. I'm like, that's it? Do you realize that you've been entrusted with a Timothy? That you've been entrusted with a king, that you've been entrusted with a queen. And so don't allow your parenting, and I'm not just talking to mothers, I don't allow your parenting to be defined by negativity. You better look for seasons of fruit. You better look for seasons of growth. You better look for seasons of God's hand on that baby's life and call it out of them. We cannot have a generation of parents that just simply say, well, it's hard. We know. And I know what you're doing. You want Pastor B, but you know, your kids is old, dog. You ain't got sleepless nights. You right. You're right. There are moments where Ty and I look at each other, we're like, let's just go away. All right, we go away the next day. We put some food in the refrigerator and we come back and be like, man, I hope you survived, man. Like that's our life. Like we be like, peace, good luck. Do your thing. But they were young, and we did have sleepless nights, and we did complain, and we did fuss. But in reality, I'm like, man, there's not one scripture where Lois said, this boy is hard-headed. There's not one scripture where Lois said, he out here doing whatever he want to do. The only time they're mentioned is mentioned with positivity because you have a real opportunity before you to rear a child of God and take them to the king. So these two women are known for simply being faithful. Well, here's the question at hand. How did these two women teach Timothy? What ways did they teach him? Did they sit him down and do a Bible study? How did they teach Timothy? Well, there's one word that really lets us in on how they taught him. Look at this word. We kind of run past this stuff. But it says here in verse 5, I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that, watch the word, dwelt. Somebody say dwelt. Now, there's two reasons I really wanted to highlight this word. I'm going to give you the original meaning and the original language, which is Greek. But first, I just want to highlight that dwelt means past tense. So it doesn't say dwell, meaning mama and grandma is still alive. So they probably have died at this point. But what I love about motherhood and grandmotherhood, what I love in the text is that the Bible says dwelt, meaning that they died, but they left a spiritual legacy. If for no other reason for you to be faithful, yeah. You should be faithful because one day you will die and be gone. Death appoint is awaiting for all of us. And one day when you're gone, you need your great, 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 great grandchildren to walk with the Lord because you were faithful with the baby now. It's called legacy. Somebody say legacy. Oh, somebody say influence. I'm telling you, you have influence in the life that is going far beyond just the generation that's before you. And I believe that legacy has to be financial legacy. Man, I was just thinking about this. We give money up and not down. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Oh, I don't want mom in the home, so I got to financially take care of her. Or she didn't have no insurance, and so therefore, I got to pay for the whole funeral. And there's so much money that we're sending up. Lord, please, y'all better say this with me. Let me be the one that passes money down. I want my kids to be different. I want God, let my funeral be completely paid for. Amen. Not by them. Amen. Because here's my hope, is that they would have wives and children that they taking care of. Why are they taking care of me? Now, I'm not beating nobody up. I'm just telling you, the legacy that we can leave has to be greater than what we're doing now. All of us. So there's financial legacy. There's spiritual legacy. There has to be a spiritual legacy that you leave down to your children. You got to be known for more than just gossiping. And I'm not saying everybody's a gossiper, but grandma sometimes can gossip. Grandpa, because I think sometimes we just think women gossip. Some of the greatest gossipers I've seen in my life were men. They sit with the teacup empty, fill me up. Itching ears, he tell me everything. What happened at church today? Who dating who? I want to leave a legacy. Where my children know that outlives me, that my grandchildren, that a great grandchildren that may never meet me will be able to say, I don't know about him, but all I hear is that he was godly. I don't know about her, but all I hear is that she was godly. So that's the first way. It dwelt. They're gone. They dwell is past tense. Lois and Eunice are no longer alive. But the second way this word dwell is important is because in the Greek, it literally means to live or lived out. Let me reread the text now with the original intent. Verse 5 says, I am reminded, Timothy, of your sincere faith, a faith that was lived out by grandma, a faith that was lived out by your mom. In other words, Lois and Eunice didn't just sit back and prescribe an oral theology to Timothy. They would have shown Timothy the gospel by how they walked. Oh, they would have shown Timothy the gospel by how they lived. In other words, it is not enough for us to just profess our faith to our children. We have to live our faith in front of our children. There's a verse in Philippians chapter 1, verse 27, maybe it's 28. I don't know which one. It says, only let your manner of life be counted worthy of the gospel. My life should be a reflection of the gospel. I can't just tell my children the gospel. They got to see the gospel. They got to see Jesus. They got to see me go through hardship and still love Jesus. Uh-oh, they got to see me get success and still be humble and love Jesus. I think sometimes we think that the only way the bad side of us comes out is through hardship, but sometimes you get success and we see who you really are. But they need to see that I'll maintain faithfulness and no matter what season of life that I am in. It says dwelt, lived out. Where was it lived out? It was lived out in your grandmother. You saw your grandmother walk with Jesus. It was lived out in your mother. You saw your mother. And if that's not your testimony, maybe you didn't. Maybe you didn't see Jesus in the home. You actually can start something new now. You can be the one that you can be the Grandma Lois. You can be the Mama Eunice. And you can do that now. All it takes is discipline and faithfulness. I was sitting a couple of weeks ago. It was a Saturday. I went to brunch with some friends that flew into town, and we went to brunch and we had this moment. I'm not sure of even how the conversation went here, but we had this moment in the conversation where we just started talking about generational impact. And we talked about positive ways we saw things we saw in the house and negative things that we saw in the house. And it was everything. It was everything from one of the guys like, oh man, I just found out I had a sibling. Father never told us. I'm like, man, how did that go for you? He don't even want to talk about it. And then everything else from, well, I saw spiritual faithfulness in the home. That was my story 90% of the time. 90% of the time. Yeah, I had a mother that was just, she just loved Jesus. She just loved Jesus. I can't explain it. I never saw, she had hardship, but she always loved Jesus. She used to play the piano for the churches that we attended. My father was in the military, so we attended a lot of churches. And every church we went to, she played the piano. It was nothing on a Saturday morning for me to get up and hear her playing Great is Thy Faithfulness. Playing hymns. It's part of the reasons why I love hymns today is because I heard it so much at home. I had a father who was a Baptist pastor, and every church we went in, he found himself on the ministerial staff. He would sit me and my brother down. If he had to preach on a Sunday, we were probably 6 or 7. He would sit us down and preach his whole sermon and then legit ask for feedback. Bro, I don't know. Good job. Preach every time. Every single time he had to preach, he would sit us down and preach his whole sermon. My mother in the other room playing Great is Thy Faithfulness. He preached. I'm like, I just want to go outside. I got a new Skeletor and He-Man. I want to play. Like, I want you to go outside. But that marked me. I had two grandmothers. My grandmother that lived in North Carolina, we would spend the summer with her. And I've shared this with you before. I believe it is where I get my charismatic side. My grandmother was so faithful. Like, it was almost spooky. We would sometimes walk down the street to go to church, and she would stop on a normal route and be like, the Lord's telling me to go down this block. We would have church every night. She would be like, it's time for bed, but y'all know what we're doing. She would make my brother grab a scripture. I would sing a song, or I would grab a scripture, and he would sing a song. We looking at each other going, that song better be quick tonight. And then no matter where we were, we would literally go like this and then go like this. And she would preach from the passage we pointed to. every single night. And she'd be like, don't get up. Don't y'all go to the bathroom before we have church. Every single. Now, my grandmother in Harlem, let's just say I got my turn upside from her. This is a situation that involved some Kahlua and a Christmas tree. My tie said, don't tell that one, so I ain't gonna tell that one. This is a bad situation. My grandmother in Harlem, she took me to my first concert. Fresh Prince, DJ Jazzy Jeff and the Fresh Prince. And Raw Bass. Now this is Raw Bass when It Takes Two first came out. That joint dropped. Woo! Woo! Don't play it. But I was like, my grandmother took us. In reality, we took my grandmother to her first concert. She stood on a chair. She took her shirt off. It was like this. I am not like my hand to God. She took her shirt off, stood on the chair, and went ham. I'm like, what is going on? So 90% of the time, I saw Jesus in the hole. It was that little sliver in Harlem. It's just different. It was different. First of all, I don't even know how in the world we got in a concert as young teens. But anyway, point I'm making is, I don't know, maybe you grew up with the grandmother in North Carolina that was so faithful to the Lord. Maybe you grew up with the grandmother that was, you know, took the shirt off and was swinging on the chair. I don't know, but here's what I know. You can be the Mama Lois and the grandmother Eunice. You can be that person today. And here's the reality. I believe that there's a generation of Timothys that will be raised up if we are all faithful to the Lord and what God has given. And here's the thing. You don't got to be deep in theology in order to give Jesus to the next generation. What you have, if Jesus can take two fish and five loaves and multiply it, that's my prayer this morning. I was going, Lord, this sermon is all over the place. Lord, take it and multiply it. What if every day you woke up and said, whatever I got, I'm going to invest in this child that you gave me. So now I need you to take this influence and multiply it. Multiply it. Somebody say influence. Brother, don't leave. I want to pray for that baby before you leave. You can stand right there. Father, I want to pray for every mother in this room. Every single mother, these mothers and grandmothers that have invested their lives. Sometimes they don't do it well. I get it, Lord. Sometimes they make wrong decisions and mistakes. But Lord, I pray, oh God, that their legacy would be one of faithfulness to you. If mama or grandma don't know you, Lord, I pray, oh God, that you would turn their heart to you today. But I pray for these young men in this room and these young ladies in this room that are better because of these women that are in our lives. But I thank you, oh God. I pray for the mom that, the woman that wants to have a child and just can't. The woman that may have made a bad decision when she was younger and chose not to be a mom in that season. Pray for the one that lost mom. But I pray, oh God, that you would turn every situation and give us comfort. Pray for the single moms in the room that spent their life raising their baby, this child that may have never met their father. But we have an example of Timothy that is raised up and there is no mention of his father. One place where we found out he's a Greek. That's it. But we get let in on the fact on who raised him. And so, Lord, I thank you, oh God.